So we can call it. Shalom Aleichem. Everybody, Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
It is so wonderful to have you all here on Hanukkah. This is one of my favorite times of the year. There's the most light here, and it's the most light shines out of the deepest darkness. That's really it, right? When you're in a pitch black room, even the tiniest bit of light can illuminate the whole place. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is it doesn't work the other way, right? If you have a lit up room, look, I'm holding darkness in my hands, and I open my hands and the darkness goes away. It does not work the other way, right? If I have darkness in a room and a tiny little bit of light, I open my hands, the light, again, pushes away the darkness. Hanukkah is really about this idea of having the light pushing away the darkness. And that's a nice idea. But fundamentally, what does that mean? What can I do with that information? So that's part of what we're going to be studying today. We're going to be seeing the Netivot Shalom. And this Ma'amar, Ela Lirotam Bilvad. Right, this is a famous line from Hanerot Halalu, the song we sing immediately after lighting the candles, right, that we're not allowed to use them, right? Ein lanu reshut lehishtamesh behem. We don't have permission to use them. It's a strange kind of language. We don't have the permission to use this light other than to look at it.
Who wrote this?
This is the Netivot Shalom, Rabbi Shalom Noach Berzovsky. It's the same rabbi that we've been learning. We're continuing in the same series, but today we're going to do something that's Hanukkah related. And at the risk of getting ahead of myself, I'm going to say just a quick idea on this idea of Ein lanu reshut lehishtamesh behen ela liratam bilvad. One way I can describe it, I have a book at home. It's called Shorshei Hashemot. It's a very deep Kabbalistic book where lists a bunch of holy names, different letters and combinations and techniques. If you write certain names on pottery and then cover it in wax and hide it somewhere, and then it'll have some kind of seemingly magical result. Many different kinds of things, writing amulets and all sorts of other cool stuff. There's one formula in there for getting an invisibility stone. A stone you hold in your hand and it makes you invisible. It's a pretty interesting book. In the introduction to the book, it has an introductory paragraph, and one of the lines there is "Ein lanu reshut lehishtamesh behen ela lirotan bilvad." These are tools and techniques that technically exist within God's universe, but they're not toys. It's not something to be played with. It's not something to just experiment with on a haphazard level. There's something very profound here that we can only look at it. You can look at these ideas and say, wow, that's cool that thing can happen. So what does that have to do with the Hanukkah candles? So Avram, you asked, when Hashem said Yihi Or, what language did he say it in?
Yeah.
That's one question. When Hashem said Yihi Or, what was that light? Remember, that light came on day one. That's not sunlight. That's light that came 3 days before the sun. What was that light? So the Midrash tells us that light was too powerful and it was hidden away for the righteous when the redemption comes, right? And it's called the Or Haganuz, the hidden light. One of the places... First, Adam HaRishon, the Midrash says, Adam, he could see from one end of the universe to the other, and the way he did that was by looking at this Or Haganuz. He was able to glance at this light and see from one end of the universe to the other. Everything was contained in it. And it wasn't just light, like light shining from the light bulb, which illuminates a particular area. It was light that illuminates everything, all the time, simultaneously. There's a concept that the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, the light that it gave off, was light that was sourced in the Or Haganuz. That's why the menorah was able to be in the Beit HaMikdash. It wasn't just a candelabra. It was the menorah. It would shine from that light. And as we're going to see, the light in our Chanukiyot are shining the light of the menorah. That the light in our Chanukiyot are shining this light from the original statement of Yihi Or, that's too powerful for the average person to engage with. And therefore, it is ganuz. It is geniza, right? A geniza is where we kind of put things to be buried. I don't even know how you translate a geniza. It's hidden. Yeah, it's hidden, but it's hidden away. And it's put away, and it's being kept safe. Well, so it's the same word, right? The Cairo Geniza is the famous Geniza. It's the same word, Geniza and Or HaGanuz. That's not where we get it, but it's the same word, right? And we have this concept that the original light of the Shisha Yimei Bereshit is, after going through a few levels, it is the light of our menorah, of what we have. It is the light that we get to look at on Chanukah. Again, Ein Lanu Reshut. We don't have permission to use it. It's too much. It's too powerful. But we get a glimpse. We get a glimpse. So what does that glimpse do for us? Again, back to our original question, because that's my favorite question to always come back to. So what can I do with this now? Good. So let's look inside. It's quite a long ma'amar, so we're going to go through it at a good pace. I'm sure we'll have our tangents. Because what's a shir without tangents? But we're going to go through, and hopefully we'll be able to get through this article within the next 50 minutes. So he begins as follows. Hanerot halalu kodesh hem ve'ein lanu reshut lishtamesh behem ela lirotam bilvad. These lights are holy, and we don't have permission to use them except to stare at them alone. We can learn from this matter of these lights are holy. Ma mashma'ut hakdusha shechala alehem ad she'ein lanu reshut lishtamesh behem. What is this holiness that rests upon these lights that commands that ultimately we don't have permission to use them? V'chein yishla vin omro lirotam bilvad. And just as we have to look at the idea that we can't use them, we have to look at the idea of we have to see them, right? Or we should see them. We can see them. Mashma sha'ri'ya hi chelek mehamitzvah. That seeing the candles burning, seeing the light shining from the menorah, is part of the mitzvah of hadlakat nerot Chanukah. It's not, let me make a bracha and light some candles and walk away. It's let me light some, make a bracha, light some candles, and then look at the light. And then walk away. But you have to look at the light. Kidemuchach v'ma'amar chazal, as our sages taught, haro'en ner chanukah mevarech, shalom matzinu b'shum mitzvah shetia mashma'ut l'ri'iya. That the sages taught that somebody who sees a Chanukah candle, the Chanukah light, should make the bracha. Right? In the case where somebody doesn't have their own Chanukiah, you can still make the bracha on seeing a Chanukiah. Right? And he's saying this, you don't find this anywhere else where you make a bracha simply by seeing something. Right? Then that's the essence of the bracha, right? There are other brachot that we make on seeing things. There's a bracha on seeing an extraordinarily beautiful person. There's a bracha you make on seeing a rainbow. But it's not the sight which is the main thing there. Right? The bracha we make is that Hashem created such a thing in His world. It's about God's creation in those situations. It's not about seeing it itself. Where here, part of the mitzvah itself is just to see things. Ve'elu b'ner Chanukah lirot et hanerot hu chelek ikari. V'kemo sh'amru tzadikim sh'ayistaklut b'nerot ha-Chanukah hi segula l'harbe inyanim. And he says, and it's by the Hanukkah lights. That when we see the candles, this is an essential part of the mitzvah. It's not just nice. It's not just let me light and look and that's nice and cute. This is essential to doing it, to doing the mitzvah. And he says, as our sages have taught, that the light of the Hanukkah candles is a segula, is an omen, I suppose, for many things.
More like a treasure?
It's a treasure, right? But the way it's used here is it's an omen. It's a sign of, right? Right. So that book I mentioned earlier, the Shorshei HaShemot, right? It talks about many of those things as sigulot, right? A sigula for Parnassah. It's a treasure. It's something that has some connection to that in a secret way. And it's something that's treasured by God. But the colloquial term, the way we understand it, is this is really an omen. It's something that kind of points in that general direction. That's, I know omen is not really like a Jewish word, but that's kind of what it means. V'yesh lamar b'zeh, d'inei k'tiv, k'iner mitzvah v'torah or. And there's something to say about this, that we have a pasuk, k'iner mitzvah v'torah or, that a candle is a mitzvah, and Torah is light. Interestingly, I was very happy when I decided I was going to do this particular ma'amar, because that's written on the parochet upstairs. So on the parochet, in front of the Aron Kodesh, there's two psukim, and one of them is exactly this, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. V'ita b'chazal, and it says in our sages, Mashal le'echad sheholech b'choshech, הדליק את הנר ניצול מן הבורות והקוצים, אבל אינו ניצול מן הליסטים, כיוון שאיר היום ניצול מכולם. So our sages have taught that there's a parable of a person who is walking in the dark. And that person lit a candle, and the candle saved them from pits and thorns. However, it did not save them from thieves. Right? Because now you're walking in the dark, and they see exactly where you are. And then once the day comes, he's saved from everybody. It's one thing to light a candle. It's another thing for it to be light out. V'zehu Torah or. And that's what it means, that the Torah is or. Torah is this light that shines upon everything. Right? Uperush Torah or. Hu ha'or haganuz, right? And this explanation of the Torah that is light, this is that hidden light. Or ha'elokut shenivra b'yom harishon, that godly light that was created on the first day. De'ita b'chazal, shara'a kadosh baruch hu she'ein ha'olam ra'uy l'or hazeh. Right, that it's, our sages taught that Hashem saw that the world was not deserving of this particular light. Amad v'ganaz b'torah u'l'amalei Torah. So Hashem stood up and hid this light away in Torah for those who are constantly engaged in Torah. U'b'makom acher, ita sheganaz l'tzadikim. And another midrash says it was hidden away for the righteous. Right. So on one hand, we have the idea of righteous people, right-doing people. In previous weeks, we've discussed the idea of somebody who's always working on themselves, somebody who's always looking to do better, somebody who sees a flaw in the world and says, where's my flaw so that I can try to fix this? Right? This must be my responsibility if I'm saying it. That's on one hand. And on the other hand, it's somebody who is, according to another version of the Midrash, it's in the Torah. The Torah we have, the Torah that we read every week, it is the source that we have to be able to get a glimpse of what this light is all about. The only way you get there is by really putting your whole heart and soul into it, to be amel in Torah, which, as we've also been discussing in previous weeks, fundamentally says the same thing, right? Whether it's tzaddikim or in Torah and amalei Torah, can potentially be both. Anyway, we're going to move on. Ha'or hazeh hu kodesh kodeshim, Shasur lishtamesh bo. This light is the Holy of Holies, and it's forbidden to use it. Lefichach haTorah sheganuz ba or elokut asur lishtamesh ba. Right, and therefore the Torah that is hiding this holy light, you're not allowed to use it. Right? What does that mean? You're not allowed to use it. So we have a quote from Pirkei Avot by Hillel, where he says in the next lines, "Udeish damesh betagach cholaf." Anyone who uses its crown, the crown of Torah, for their own benefit, is cut off. Right? What's the danger of having this Or HaGanuz? What's the available? What's the danger of being able to see from one end of the universe to the other? Back to that book. What's the danger of having the ability to use these names and the power that's involved in them?
Pride is
pride. Yeah, it's pride. That's exactly it. It's probably not the words I would have used for it, but that's exactly it. I'm going to use it for my own benefit. Right? If I ever decide to go through the magic, whatever, in that book to figure out how to become invisible, what would I do with my invisibility? Probably walk into a bank vault. No one would see me, right? And that's the danger, right?
The way it's reading, it's the Torah that is contained this or shouldn't be used.
Yeah, for your own benefit.
But how do you know it contains it or doesn't contain it? I mean, you're using.
This is what Chazal have taught.
Okay.
You know, there's a fundamental belief that we have in Chazal and in our sages that they have a Torah Sheba'al Peh, which they received from Moshe Rabbeinu, who received it directly from Sinai, Shemaim, whatever that means, who brought it into this world. There's Torah Sheba'al Peh that they've carried on to this very day. And, I mean, it's perfect for Chanukah. Chanukah is the ultimate Torah Sheba'al Peh. Right? How many? This is a whole book dedicated just to Chanukah. And there are many, many books dedicated to just Chanukah. And some authors, when they write about Chagim, they have one volume for Moadim, and then a similarly sized volume for just Chanukah. What's so special about Chanukah that there's so much to say about it? If you look at the Gemara, if we look at how much does it write about Purim, which is a Torah Sheba'al Peh holiday, there's Masechet Megillah. It's not a long Masechet, but it's a full Masechet dedicated entirely to Purim. How much does Chanukah get? A page and a half in the middle of Masechet Shabbos. That's it. Chanukah is the ultimate Torah Sheba'al Peh because we're still holding on to it today. We're still holding on to everything on an oral level. How do we know about the miracles of Chanukah? We know about the oil lasting for 8 days because it's written in that Gemara for a page and a half. We know about the wars that took place because it's written in that particular Gemara. Historically, it's also in Sefer Maccabim. It's also written in the works of Josephus Flavius. But the actual way we teach each other about it, it's in Al-Hanisim also, but the way we talk about it on a pure Torah Sheba'al Peh level. We just know things about Chanukah because it's been handed down from generation to generation. Chanukah has the most Torah Sheba'al Peh. And that's why everyone has so much to say about it. That's why when you look at the candles, you know everything there is to know about Chanukah. You don't have to open one of these books and you already know. Well, let's keep going in the book and we'll see. But you're right. So when he says, Ishtamesh b'tagah chalaf, that you're, when you use Torah, you're cut off, it's for your own benefit, right? So the way that's
always is information or knowledge, then.
Or is beyond information and knowledge. It includes information and knowledge.
So let's say you see it. It's like denying your awareness. It's like denying your own. I don't know the way it reads.
What do you mean if denying your own awareness?
Well, the way it reads, right? So where is it here? Here. Lifchah haTorah sheganuz ba or haElokut asur lishtamesh ba.
Right.
Anyway, and therefore
you're not allowed to use Torah for your own purposes. That is, you're not allowed to take Torah and sell it. Right. It's not saying, right, there are people in this world, Litzarenu, who really, they make a living just saying what the Torah says. And they're saying it as though it's theirs, right? Now look, Torah belongs to all of us equally. That's not a question. But to say, it's mine, therefore I'm going to sell it to you, that's already a problem, right? That Torah doesn't belong to anyone that I can charge you for my Torah. That's, you know, if you want to contribute to my involvement in Torah, that's one thing. Right? But I can't charge you for my involvement, because that's making a benefit. That's why if you look at Rambam and Ramban and the biggest Rabbanim we've had in history, they all had professions. Rambam is famous for saying halachically it's forbidden for a rabbi to get an income from working as a rabbi. We don't hold by him halachically, and there are various reasons for that, where we say it's that's not included in this. It was a bunch of professional rabbis who wrote that particular psak. But anyway, the concept is that you're not allowed to use Torah for your own benefit. It's not for us to use. The Oregon News, this infinite light that's inherent in Torah, okay. It's not a toy to be played around with.
Okay.
It's something that we should learn, something we should try to connect to. But to realize that there's something that's far beyond me in that light. So therefore I can't use it. Right? I don't have the vessels, almost, you could say, to use it. Right? V'chein amru, al ta'aseh kardom lach porba. Don't use it as... Don't make a... Kardom? I had this before. It's like a... But don't dig into it. It's not there as like a shovel to dig into the world. Right? She'et ha-Torah tzarich l'ilmod lishma v'lo l'shem ha-na'ot. Right? It's not a shovel for digging. It's not like I'm going to use it as a tool. Right? The reason we learn Torah is for learning Torah. Because learning Torah is what being a Jew in this world is really all about. How we learn Torah, the books we learn, or the lack of books we use, but the way we approach the world, the messages we take, that has to be done for its own sake. It's not for me to get benefit from it. Right? If I really enjoy learning this book, that's great. But I shouldn't be learning this book because of the enjoyment I get. It's not a bad thing if I get enjoyment from learning Torah. That's fine. Right? But it shouldn't be saying, if I didn't enjoy it as much, I shouldn't learn it. Right? There are some parts of Torah that I like learning more than other parts, and that's fine. But it doesn't mean I should totally reject those other parts and be like, oh, that's not my Torah. No, that's not it at all. That's still Torah. And I can learn that just as easy as I can learn this. It's, right? It shouldn't be about the Hana'a, even if I get the Hana'a. Well, the varze, gam ner Chanukah de'ita b'sifarim hakdoshim, shenimshach bo me'or ha-menorah, shu'or ha-ganuz. Right? So too, when we talk in this way, the nerot of Chanukah, right? Just like Torah, the nerot of Chanukah, as it's written in the holy books, contain the light of the menorah, which is this hidden light. That's what makes the candles holy. That's what makes the Chanukah lights holy. That within the light of the Chanukah candles is this godly, hidden godly light, which is the holy of holies. There's nothing beyond the holiness of that light. Therefore, we're not allowed to use them. We can only look. V'inyan lirotam hu l'fi she'ha'or hazeh he'arato hu b'neshama. And this idea of seeing them now, so what does it mean? So that's, we don't have reshut to use them. But what does it mean, but we have to see them? That the light that it shines is the light of our neshama. It's the light of our souls. Shemi'ir et nishmat Yehudi bo'or elokut. That it shines upon the Jewish soul, the godly light. Right? It's a strange concept, because the idea of our souls and this godly light are kind of abstract. What does that mean? It's this godly light shining upon my soul. What does that really do for me to say that? Oh, it's nice. It sounds lovely. There's a godly light shining upon my soul. Wonderful. I don't know what to do with that, though. So he's going to give us a little more. It says, "Vari yahi koch pnimi shamoch sheyesh la shayachut la neshama." And he says, sight is the inner power of the mind that has a connection to the soul. So this is already, it gets into a philosophical concept of the self.
And, sorry, I'm jumping ahead, but what about people who are blind?
What about people who are blind? First let me explain this, and then we can try to take it there. That sight is, when it says here, sight is the power of the mind that has a connection to the soul, right? We can ask the question, where is our self located? Right? Some people will say, oh, myself is in my mind. Some people say, myself is in my heart. Some people will say, myself is in my whole being. And the way he describes it here, he says it doesn't really matter where yourself is located, but yourself is the one who looks out and perceives the world. You have a brain, just like a computer has a brain, right? But the computer doesn't necessarily have a self, right? It has a bunch of coding which allows it to recognize certain features of its surroundings with software that, you know, explains certain things. And matches certain, you know, depths and things like that, and whatever. It has all sorts of different things to recognize faces and to places and locations. Technology now is just beyond. But while it's going through all these computations, it doesn't seem as though technology has a self. There's no inner point of reference. Our neshama is that inner point of reference, where I can analyze all that information in front of me and say, this works for me or this doesn't work for me. A computer is much more on an instinctual, animalistic level. It kind of works or it doesn't work, and yeah, there are certain lessons learned over time, right? But it doesn't really change the motivation. We can fundamentally change our motivations, which is what we've been discussing every week until now. He says that the light, the idea of seeing, is that vision of our soul. So what does that have to do? So how does that apply to a blind person? A blind person, as much as they can't see the world in the same way, still has that inner sense of self looking out. What that means, I don't know, because thank God I am not blind. But there is that still that sense of the self inside looking out upon a world that they just can't see. And that's a whole other thing. We're not going to talk about how this tefillah and how this mitzvah works for a blind person. That's already beyond the scope. So, v'zo haita milchemet hachashmonaim b'ivanim. This whole thing that we've been discussing, this was the war of the Hashmonaim against the Greeks. Sheyivanim zamemu lachshich enehem shel Yisrael, that the Greeks just wanted to darken the eyes of the Jews. Shemilcham tam im Yisrael lo haita milchama gashmit shebeguf. That the war they had with Israel was not a physical war with the body. They weren't trying to kill us. The Greeks didn't rise up and say, kill the Jews. Ela hechshichu enehem shel Yisrael. They wanted to darken our sight. Hainu shehechshichu et or haneshama. They wanted to darken the light of our souls. Sheneshmat Yehudi lo targish et or halokut. So that the Jewish soul would no longer feel this divine light that shines into it. Valken gazru kadvo al kern hashor she'en lachem chelek be'eretz Yisrael. Therefore, one of their decrees was that they would write upon a cow's horn or an ox's horn that the Jews wouldn't have any, don't have any connection to Eretz Yisrael. Right? One of the ideas of a shofar is not allowed to be of a shor. It's not allowed to be of an ox, right, or a cow, because of the golden calf. We don't want to bring up those bad memories. And here they went to Har HaBayit with the cow, and on the horn of the cow, they wrote, you don't have any place here. Shal yidei ze garmu chashchot b'nishmotehem shel Yisrael. And this brought darkness to the souls of the Jews. And it's against this, it really is in opposition to this, that we have the revelation of the Chanukah lights that shine into our souls. Again, so the essence, right, therefore the essence of Chanukah lights is to see them. Sha'al yidei ha-re'iya choder ha-or la-ha'ir ha-neshama. Because by seeing it, we essentially internalize this light in order to enlighten, bring light to our souls. Va'al ken, ha-ro'e nerot Chanukah mevarach. And that's why a person who just sees Chanukah lights should still make a bracha. That's part one of part one.
What is that beracha?
Huh?
What is that beracha?
The bracha? Ladlik ne Chanukah.
Even though you haven't lit.
There's for sure Sha'asa Nisim. For sure Sha'asa Nisim Levotenu. There's an idea if you don't light yourself that you can make a Ladlik ne Chanukah even on somebody else's lighting. Right? If you have one communal Chanukia, everyone can still make all the brachot together. While one person lights, because you're seeing the lighting happen. Okay. It's the same idea. So, Aor Hazeh Hu Nitzchi. Right? This light is eternal. Kedi'ita b'chazal shekasher Aaron shekol ha-nesi'im yikrivu korbanotehem ve'hu lo hikriv chalsha da'ato. As our sages have taught in a midrash, that when Aaron HaKohen saw that all the tribal leaders were bringing offerings for the dedication of the Mishkan, right? The Torah reading during Chanukah is the Chanukat HaMishkan, the celebration for the establishment of the Mishkan in the desert, right? In Parshat Naso. So we have the 12 tribes, each brought a gift on a different day. So that's the Torah reading over Chanukah. So when Aaron HaKohen saw them all bringing these gifts, said he felt weak inside. It's chalsha da'ato. He was almost remorseful about it. Amar lo, and because he hadn't brought anything. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu le Moshe. Hashem told Moshe, Emor lo, tell him, Moshe, tell your brother, shelcha gadol mishalahem. Your portion is greater than theirs. She'ata madlik umeitiv et hanerot. Because you, Aaron HaKohen, are going to be going up and lighting these candles. And you're going to ensure that the light is a good light. And your efforts will last eternally. Right? The Chanukat HaMishkan lasted for a week and a half.
Is that the eternal light they're talking about?
Oh, Yofi. Because again, this is the menorah. Right. So right? What did we say the light of the menorah is? The light of the menorah is the Or HaGanuz.
Right.
And the Or HaGanuz is eternal.
Right.
It's the light that preceded everything.
So, symbolically, like in that Rishul, when we have the eternal light, is that part of that same light? Yeah.
Well, that's symbolic. It's okay. Not, right? These are actual flames.
Oh, yeah.
The Chanukah lights are this light.
Uh-huh.
Right? Have you ever thought about that? Because what are we doing when we're lighting our Chanukah candles? We're emulating the Kohen Gadol in the Beit HaMikdash as he lit the menorah. It's not just like, hey, yeah, let's sing a song. And we get to be the Kohen Gadol. I told you today that you are now, there's a Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, you are the Kohen Gadol. That's serious. Whoa. Okay, what do I have to do? How do I do it? Meva'er HaRamban. And Ramban teaches, explains, Shizkai al ner Chanukah, that this also applies to the Chanukah candles. Shigam la'achar shabad lahad lakata menorah nishara kedusha. That even after lighting the menorah ceased, because there's no mikdash, the holiness and the light of the menorah remained in the world. Where? The Hanukkah candles. V'inyan madua mikol inyanei Beit HaMikdash davka or haminorah nishar kayamlad. So of all the things going on in the Beit HaMikdash, why specifically the light of the menorah? Why not the Aron Kodesh? Why not the incense altar? Or the Mizbeach? Or the showbreads? Why the menorah? Mishum shev mibil adei, or ha'elokut ha'meir li'Yisrael, ein bekocham laseit et cheshkat ha'galut. Because without this godly light shining upon Israel, there would not be enough power in the souls of Am Yisrael to carry the darkness of exile. Right? How did we get through 2,000 years of exile that we're now back in Eretz Yisrael and working to build? Just like the Greeks did, you know, 2,300 years ago and said, we have no chelek in Eretz Yisrael. Last week, quote-unquote Greeks, it doesn't have to be actually Greece, the same soul, the same energy, is coming and saying, Am Yisrael, you have no chelek in Eretz Yisrael. It's exactly the same. And what happened there when they said it? We got stronger. And we said, what are you talking? Of course, this is it. This is our Eretz Yisrael. This is our place. And our voice got louder and stronger. And what's happened since last Friday? Everyone. I have not heard one single voice saying, yeah, the UN voice vote was right. Maybe I'm just, you know, have a monolithic Facebook feed. But it's all my friends think the same way. It's not true, though. But nobody understands this vote. Except for those who want to understand the vote. But really, it's nobody with a rational thought in their mind understands what happened there. How do we get through 2,000 years of that and worse? Only because of the Hanukkah candles. The light that is in those candles that shines deep into the hearts and soul of every one of us. There's a picture that I've been seeing every day, someone else posts it, of in one of the concentration camps in Nazi Germany, in the Shoah. There's one Chanukiah. It might have been in the Warsaw Ghetto, or maybe in one of the ghettos, but there's one Chanukiah with one candle and a shamash. And one person is at the front lighting it, and there's hundreds of people all around just trying to get a glimpse of this light. Why is it that even the most secular Jew, who has no connection to anything ever, not even Yom Kippur, is still lighting a Chanukiah? What is it? See, 2,000 years of exile? It's this. Chanukah is a fun, cute holiday. Chanukah is the ultimate. V'lechen mitzvat Chanukah shehi ha-mitzvah achrona ota tiknu chachamim kodem sheitzu Yisrael legalut arukah. Right, the Chanukah candles is the last mitzvah which our sages established before the great galut, for this long galut. Inyana shaner hazeh ye'ir l'Yisrael bo'or elokut. The whole point was so that these lights would shine into the hearts of Am Yisrael with this godly light. And it's only through this light will we be able to exist and endure through the darkness of exile.
Does this one put them in the windows? Is that part of that symbol?
The idea of putting them in the windows is pirsume nisa, which means to publicize the miracle.
Right, but to Jews or to everyone?
Everyone and Jews. Okay. Right? The idea is to really put it out there. Right? Say something happened. So people will look out and say, what's going on here? Klal Yisrael, yesh bo koch elyon laset et kol yisurim hakashim umarim. All of Israel has this exalted power to carry, really the word is to carry all the hard challenges and bitter challenges. Im Yehudi margish et hakrava l'Hashem yitbarach, she'az yesh lo koch laset hakol. And here's the trick. You have to always try to feel and to make yourself feel a little closer to Hashem. Because when you use challenges as a point, as a jumping off point, as a place from which to grow and to get closer to Hashem, then you can handle anything. You can carry anything. Ach hagrua biyoter hu kasher choshech chashach mimenu or elokut ve'ino misugal yitkayam. And the worst possible thing is when the darkness has entirely overcome that godly light and a person is not misugal, it's the same thing as segula, it does not have the opportunity to light. Right? It's capability, right? When you don't have the capability, but not because there's an onus, not because someone's preventing you from doing it, because it's not even there. Right? Even the Jew who does nothing but lights Hanukkah because, I guess I'm a Jew. Right? What was the Pew poll a few years back, right? When they say like 83%, some extremely high number, 83% of Jews under the age of 30 identify as Jews of no religion. But they identify as Jews. So what does that mean? That means they light Hanukkah candles. And that small percentage who don't even have that, they're not lighting Hanukkah candles. And that's the saddest thing in the world. Hanukkah is like the greatest time. The greatest. Aside from waistlines. But other than that, it's... And people don't even get to light some candles. V'hagalut inyana cheshchut ha'neshama. And this is what exile is. Exile is the darkening of the soul. K'mo dekatav v'anochi haster astir panai b'yom ha'hu. As Hashem writes in the Torah, and on that day I will hide. It says it twice, haster, astir. I will fully, completely hide my face on that day. Va'amar al ki ein echad elokim bekirbi v'tza'uni hara'ot ha'ele. And a person will say, because there's no God amongst me, that I'm facing these challenges. Right? What did we say previously? When do we find God the most? In our challenges, right? Rabbi Nachman of Breslov has an amazing thing. He reads the Kedusha, which is reading Yechezkel, where he quotes the prophets saying, "Aye mekom kevoto." Where is the place of his glory? Right? Aye mekom kevoto. And Rabbi Nachman reads and he says, "It's not a question; it's a statement." He says, "Aye mekom kevoto." That place where you say, where is Hashem? How can this happen? Where is God here? That's where God is exactly. When you're in that place of challenge and struggle, that is when you have the most opportunity to find holiness and godliness. It's in these darkest, darkest, darkest times that there's the most potential for light. It's like Hashem saying in this pasuk. It's in that place that He will hide Himself. It's dafka there. It's exactly in that dark place. Right, and when a person says it's because there's no God here that I'm facing these things, that's when it's too dark already. This is the essence of the challenge of being enslaved, of the pain, the bitterness of enslavement, It's this darkening of the soul. And on the heels of the Mashiach coming, right, the ikavta de Mashiach, and on the heels of Mashiach, this hester becomes greater, and the darkness will double and double. Right, it's going to get darker and darker. It's going to be harder and harder to see the light. And these matters are true for all of Am Yisrael and true for every Jew. That the worst thing is when you're stuck in darkness, you're living in darkness. Because in that place, even somebody who's learning Torah will be doing so in a place of darkness. Mitpalel mitoch hashchut. They'll pray from a place of darkness. Shabtotav u'mo'adav nitunim b'chashchut. Shabbos and Yontif will be in darkness. V'afilu or ha'emuna ha'mushrash b'damam shel Yisrael ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. And even the light of the faith that is sourced in the blood of every Jew, those with faith, sons of those with faith, children of those with faith. Gam ken etzlo b'chashchut v'choser behirut chas v'shalom. Even that will be in darkness and will be lacking in clarity, God forbid. Right? There are people in this world, it's beyond, it's sad, I can't even, who spend their time learning Torah, going crazy over Torah, and not one word of it brings them any closer to godliness. There are people who have Shabbat, and Shabbat is more bitter than death because they can't move lest they should step on an ant and be over something. Lest they should knock down the salt shaker when they're reaching for it and spill some salt and then have to clean up and maybe it'll be Milaben. Maybe there's an idea of Bal Tashchit that they wait. Their life becomes bitter under the yoke, under the servitude to God. It's dark. There are people who their faith in God is one of pain. Right? Rabbi David Aaron, he says when he was a kid, he heard the song Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. Up, up, down, down, right, right. And how did he interpret it? Hashem is truly everywhere. No matter where I go, he's going to get me. Right? Oh, there's an even better, Calvin and Hobbes. Right? Says the same thing. Calvin and Hobbes. Hobbes, the stuffed tiger, looks at Calvin and says, Calvin, do you believe in God? Calvin says, well, somebody's out to get me. Right?
That's so cute.
Is that what faith in God is? It's not the Emunah I know. Thank God. But for so many people, that's what faith means. Faith means I have to be depressed all the time because I can't live up to what the Malach does. I can't be an angel. I'm only human. Oy, woe is me. That should be gewalt. I'm a human. Hashem created me here. God needs me in this earth to do something. That's amazing. Some people just, they don't see it. Things are dark. And there's no clarity. That's his language. Ein behirut. Choser behirut. Ukumosha begashmiud gam misha chasar lo evar. V'afilu ever chayoni, adayin eino chashuv kemet. He says, and think about it when it comes to a person's body, physically, right? Even somebody who's lacking a limb, they're not considered dead, right? You're missing an arm, you're missing both your arms, chas v'shalom. It's not going to kill you. You're not considered a dead person yet. Rak hasuma chashuv kemet. But when our sages talk, this touches on what you said, when our sages talk about blind people, they say a blind person is considered as a dead person. There's something lacking in their life. Right? There's that a story, it's been made into videos, it's online everywhere, of a blind person who is holding up a placard saying, I'm blind, please help. with a cup in front of him on the sidewalk, and a woman walks by, takes his sign. I don't know why it has to be a woman, but that's just always the way the story is told. She walks up, and she changes his sign. I don't know, it doesn't matter. Why does it have to be a blind man? It doesn't matter. But she writes something on the sign, puts it down, and then all of a sudden people just start throwing money in his cup like crazy. And so what did she write? Instead of saying, "I'm blind, please help," she wrote, "It's a beautiful day, and I can't see it." There's something lacking in a life where you can't see the wonders of the world. Kach Beruchniut says, this is what it is in spirituality. Gam misha lakui bepagamim. Even somebody who is full of blemishes and is controlled by his negative character traits. Right, throwback to the last 6 weeks. And bad feelings and direction. This person is still not considered dead. This blind person who can't see the divine light, and can't see God's power in creation, it's like he's totally cut off from the source of all things. Heaven help us.
What's that?
Rachmana litzlan. Rachmana is Hashem, yeah. Right? Rachmana, the Rachum. Yeah. Litzlan is to save us. It's Aramaic. Okay. And v'chashuv kamet, and he's considered as dead. Umilvad ze hare b'sha'ash yudi sharui b'chashchut azay tashet choshech v'yihi laila bo tirmos kol chiyuto yar. He says, in this way, at the moment that a Jew is totally encompassed and encompassed by darkness, and taken over by this darkness, it becomes night, and all of the animals in the forest are pouncing on him. Sha'az mitgabrim etzlo kol minei yitzarim afelim. Right, that in that moment, all these dark forces start overtaking him. She'inam shayachim elav bichlal. Right? These dark forces overtake him, and they have nothing to do with him at all. Ki zeu koch choshech. That's the power of darkness. Right? And when darkness takes somebody, it brings them to places that have no connection. Rabbi Nachman actually says something very interesting. He says, when a Jew does a sin, it has nothing to do with the person themselves. Right? That the soul of a Jew has no connection to any kind of avera. It's not you. It's something outside of you that maybe your body's doing, but it's not you. Don't confuse yourself for one second. When you, we were talking about midot previously, and I like to use anger, right? So when you lose your cool and lose your temper and are screaming and yelling like a lunatic, you feel bad about it because you were there and you don't want to do that anymore, and you have to go ahead and figure out what's going on inside to fix it. But it wasn't you. That's not who you are. As Am Yisrael, we are people who are by default connected to the light.
Nope. Maybe this is going off on a tangent, but
it happens.
I was just thinking that something that has often bothered me is the idea that, you know, because I've learned this before, that our neshamas are pure, totally pure, mm-hmm. and nothing can touch them. But yet when we pass on, there's a belief that at least part of us, maybe not the entire part of us, but part of us that did not become its highest level comes back down to get. So what is it? Is it the neshama? Is it what is?
So you're right. You're onto something. There's two things. There's the neshama itself, and then there's the tafkid of the neshama. Hashem didn't create all our neshamot just for fun. We're part of the job. We're part of the process. That we each have a job to do here, right? We spoke about it, I think, last week. We said, when we say Modani lefanecha, Melechai v'kem shechazarta binishmati bechemla rabba munatecha, right? When Hashem, you wake us up in the morning, when you give me back my soul, it's because you have faith in me that I'm going to achieve everything you need me to achieve in the world today. I have a job to do here. And when I wake up in the morning, it's because Hashem has faith that I can do that job. When I was born into this world, it was because I had a job to do. And part of our life is trying to figure out what that job is. So when we say that the neshama is pure, right? And the next one, Elokai neshama shenatati bi tohorahi, that my neshama is pure. The neshama is pure light. You can't touch it. Right, everything you do wrong covers it in schmutz. Right, it just puts a lot of dirt on it, but it never actually darkens the neshama. It just covers it, so the light is not as visible. But it's still shining. It's never stopped shining as brightly as it did from day one. You just can't see that shining. And so, when it comes to the idea of having to come down, it's not coming down to fix our neshamot. It's coming down to fulfill the mission of our neshama. That's why, like you said, part of it might come down. According to Sharia Gilgulim of the Arizal, when he talks about it, he says that parts of our neshamot may come down and may, in fact, bounce from person to person over the course of our life. Right? That at one point I have my primary neshama, but I might have pieces of other people's neshamot kind of coming in and out of me at certain points in order to fulfill a particular job that they lacked doing in a previous incarnation. When it comes down to all this stuff, I don't know. And, you know, I don't experience that at all. I only experience the world the way I experience it. You know, my Rosh Kola, who gave me smicha in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Shoki Reich, he said he didn't believe in Gilgulim, in reincarnation. And the reason he said it is because it gives people an excuse. And that's how they use it. That was his thing. It wasn't some kind of, well, the books, and he says it, but he says he doesn't. And it was none of that. He could have taken you through that whole thing very easily. But the reason he doesn't believe in them is because people say, oh, it's who I am. I've been dealing with the same thing for 500 lifetimes. And that's just who I am. And this is my burden that I will bear one time in, one time out. And that's who I am, and I can't help it. And it's, you know, part of just my soul. And it's what it says. Stop making excuses. If you have something that you need to fix, fix it. If you are saying, well, it was because of an experience I had in a past life that I have a particular fear now that's preventing me from doing the things I need to do, that's fine. If you have something to do, do it. Don't give yourself excuses. Oh, because, forget it. And that's why he doesn't believe in them, because he doesn't believe in excuses.
I see it in a different way, though. I see it as, if anything, if this is my tafkid in this lifetime, because I'm a Gilgul, if that's sure. True, then that almost gives me a sense of calm and more of a motivation to work on it.
Awesome. That's the way we should look at it. Me too. That's really, like, I didn't agree with him. And that was always what I said. If this has been the same thing I've been dealing with, or if I know where it came from, cool. It shouldn't change what I'm doing with it now, though. Right, I think that's the whole thing, right? It's the lashon is ein nafka mina. There's no upshot. It can't really do anything for you if you're saying it can calm you down, make you feel, oh, okay. So here's more of a logical, you know, pseudo historical reason why I'm experiencing the things I'm experiencing, and so therefore that's empowering. Great, but too many people use it as excuses. He's right, and I've seen it, I know it. And it's... So, let's keep going. It says, Ve'etzah ha'yechida. Right? So there's one. one piece of advice for somebody like this who is marred in darkness. He tizrach hashemesh yasifun. That when the sun rises, it should gather you in. Uchidichtiv bereshit. Habri'ah va'aretz hayta tov vavo v'choshach. As it's written at the beginning in Parshat Bereshit, that before creation, right, the land was void and chaos and dark. Sha'itza yichida k'neged zeh, hi vayomer Hashem yihi or vayhi or. The one piece of advice is that Hashem said, listen to this advice, is that Hashem said, let there be light, and there was light. Hu or ha'elokut ha'me'ir et kol ha'mechashchim. This is the godly light that lights up anything that makes dark. On a very practical level, what's he saying here? I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if he's saying, on a practical level, just say, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or Vayhi Or. Maybe he's saying, literally quote the pasuk. You feel like you're in a place of darkness? Quote the pasuk that God creates light into dark. Maybe. Maybe he's saying, even just remember that. Doesn't matter how dark it is. Because God's the one who creates light, and where does that light go? Into darkness. A tiny little candle in a pitch black room lights up the whole room. A tiny little candle in a lit up room does mostly nothing. Sometimes we need a bit of darkness in order to see the light. V'zeh yishir kadosh baruch hu barov rachamav v'chasadav l'chlal Yisrael. And this was kept and saved by Hashem in His abundant kindness and mercy for all of Am Yisrael. She'af shenistalku kol habchina shel Beit HaMikdash. That even though the aspects of this light that were connected to the Beit HaMikdash were lost, right, based on what Hashem said to Aaron HaKohen, that yours will exist eternally. That the lights of Chanukah still exist, and they light with their light the whole year. Umakrim nitzotzei or v'nishmat Yehudi shelo yidba b'choshech. And they're called the sparks of light in the soul of a Jew in order to prevent that person from being drowned in darkness.
Just a thought occurred to me. You know, you can shine light, for example, it's dark, and you're in the middle of the lake, and it doesn't reflect. In other words, I would assume that it means kind of, you have to have a neshama that is willing to absorb light and therefore reflect back. Otherwise, it goes into the tohu and there's no...
Interesting.
There's no reflection you don't see, even though there's still light.
Right.
So maybe he's talking...
Well, he's for sure talking, you need to shine it out. It's me'ir the or of the neshama. It's the or elokut, the or of the neshama. Right? It has to shine outwardly. It has to reflect into your soul.
Right.
If you're closed off from receiving it, you're not going to get it. You're absolutely right. Which is exactly kind of what he says here. The idea that it has to shine forth in the soul of a Jew in order that you don't drown in darkness. It's exactly what you're saying. If you shine light in underwater, right, it doesn't go as far. Right? V'zeu perush hanerot halalu kodesh hem ve'en lanu reshut lishtamesh bem ela lirotam. And this is the explanation of that whole statement. Perush lirotam shenifkachim einei haneshama lirot et or elokut ha-meir b'ner Chanukah. That they open the eyes of the soul in order to see the godly light that shines in the Chanukah candle, in the Chanukah lights. Right? Most of us, when we look at the Chanukah candles, we see fire. We don't see this amazing godly light shining from one end of the universe to the other. We just see candles and fire. And he's saying, what does it mean, lirotam, for real? It means we should be davening that Hashem opens our eyes opens the eyes of our neshamot, that even if my physical eyes can only see fire, that inside, deep down, I will see everything. It will just be clear. V'ra'iya zo eina b'vchinat mutarot, ela hi mi'ikare chiyuvim sha'al yehudi. And he's saying, this seeing is not just something that's permissible. Right? It's not permissible to use, but it's permissible to... He says, no, this is the chiyuv. This is the obligation of the mitzvahs to see it. Ukemode katav ma Hashem Elokecha sho'ol mi'imach ki'im li'ir'ah. Right? And so he says, this is what's written. We have a pasuk that asks, what does Hashem, your God, want from you? Other than li'ir'ah, is to fear. De'ita b'sfarim ha'kadosh she'yir'ah otot re'iyah. That our holy books have taught that yir'ah, fear, is the same letters as seeing. Haynu she'Hashem yitbarach sho'el mi'udi et ha'yir'ah she'yir'eh bo'oro yitbarach. That Hashem is asking of us all, from every Jew, that we should have sight to see His light. Uchilshon hara'avad b'ba'alei ha'nefesh. As the Ravid, who was a generation or two after the Rambam, one of the greatest sages we have, writes in his work, Ba'alei ha'nefesh, v'ata ben adam et einecha tipakach v'tir'et tmunat yotzrecha ha'omedet lefanecha negdecha. That he says, listen people, open your eyes and see the vision of your Creator standing before you, not opposing you, but holding you up. V'hainu ha-re'iya be'enei ha-sechel, which means to see with your mind. Sha'az mi'chlal sumak far yatsa, and at that point you can no longer be blind. Right? Once your mind is working right, so this is where we get to an actual blind person. How can they be involved here? It's like I was saying, they still have that inner self. As long as that inner self looking out is able to look out and understand God standing there in front of them at all times, they're not blind. They might not have physical sight, but they're not blind. Whereas what he's saying is, there are many people in the world who may have physical sight, but are totally blind. Va'or hazeh shel nerot Chanukah hu nitzchi. That this light of the Chanukah candles, the Chanukah lights, is eternal and will exist eternally and will shine until the new light comes that will shine upon Tzion. May it come speedily in our day. For those who are interested, I am going to do Od Bet now, but really we're at time, so if you have to go, feel free, and I'm going to keep going. If you'd like to stay, I hope I can get through it in the next 10 minutes.
There is
a water if you want to. Yeah. So here, let me pause it, and we'll take a 2-minute break. Mm-hmm. So we now pick up with Ot Bet. Maran Admor, the Beit Avraham Zchuto Yagen Aleinu, our teacher, the Slonim Rebbe, in his Beit Avraham, may his merit rest upon us. Haya darko l'habit al hanerot meshech rov zman hadlaka shenim shecha sha'ot rabot v'kim'at lo gara inav mehem. His tradition, his way, was to stare at the candles, at the lights, for a very long time, once they were lit, which could last for hours. And his eyes almost never veered away at all. Va'afilu be'et sha'amar todah histakel al hanerot. Torah histakel al hanerot. And even at those moments when he was teaching Torah, remember this is a Rebbe, right? So he's always there and his chassidim are around and he's telling Torah. His eyes would just be staring at the candles. Right? If we lit those candles, right? Instead of giving my shir facing all of you, I would just have to face there and tell you what's going on, right? With Ubebeit Avraham ala parsha, rak bein necha tabit v'shilumat rishayim tir'eh, Right? So he quotes from, I'm pretty sure it's Tehillim. He says, only with your eyes look and you will see the downfall of the evil. Ita shehev habata al haneirot chanukah hi tikun le inyanei pegamim. That just staring at the Chanukah lights is a fixing, right? It helps fix all matters of blemish. V'yesh lomar she'inyan zeh merumaz ba'omro ki rega ba'apo. That it says, it's hinted to when he says, because in the moment of his anger, right, it's in the same statement there. V'ita b'sfarim ha'kadoshim ba'apo gimatra Chanukah. That in his anger, be'apo, is the same numerology as Chanukah. So let's try it. Bet is 2, Aleph is 1, Pei is 80, Vav is 6, so that's 89. And Chanukah is 8 and 50, so 58, 64, 84, and 89. There you go. Sharei letaken hapgamim hi avodah kasha. That fixing our midot is hard work. Right? Anyone who's been coming previously, you know this. This is what we've been talking about. This is hard work. Aval koach ha-tikun shel Chanukah sherak be'inecha tabid. But the fixing that happens on Chanukah is just let your eyes see. Let your eyes look. Hu bibchinat ki rega be'apo. It's at a moment. There's a moment of anger. Sheka'asher Yehudi mabid b'neirot Chanukah yechol letaken berega echad. That on Chanukah, you can fix everything in one moment. Right? We're talking about years of work before. And what's he telling us now? We have an opportunity over Chanukah. The whole midot discussion that we were having previously can be fixed in 1 second. He's saying in a moment of God's anger that there's, right, and we can fix that. What's God angry gonna be angry about if we're doing things wrong? But we can fix that whole thing just like that's a moment of anger, right? And kind of even for ourselves, right? If we were gonna get angry, and we had a moment of anger, and then we're immediately able to reel ourselves back in, it's not such a bad thing. He's saying that with Chanukah, in that one moment, we can fix all of those moments. Not even have that. Rak be'inecha tabid v'shilumat rasha'im tireh. Quotes the pasuk again. Rak mabid be'inav miyad v'shilumat rasha'im tireh. That when you only see with your eyes, exactly now, right, and you see the downfall of the evil, shemitaken umishlim otam inyanim behem hu rasha. That you fix and complete these matters which are evil. Al devar ma'amar chazal, as our sages taught in Baba Batra, iika darka acharina rasha hu. That if you go another way other than the way of Torah, it's a way of evil. Shal yedei habatat in a naim b'neirot, that when eyes look at the candles, hu yotze michlal rasha, that you exit from this evil. Ayidei sheyudim mavarech al haneirot Chanukah umabit alehem mikalbel al atzmo mai dahave have mikan ve'elech lo yeshuv lekasla. That by a Jew blessing, making a bracha over the Chanukah lights and staring at them and accepting upon himself that what was, and from now and forward, I will not return. Mo'il lo hakoch shel Chanukah leteken et hakol berega echad. That the power of Chanukah comes upon him to fix everything in one moment. Bechinat ki rega be'apo, umitkayem v'shilumat rasha'im tireh. That in that moment of anger, you will then fulfill seeing the downfall of evil. The miracle of Chanukah came when Am Yisrael were at a very low place. There, no one could have rationally understood how we would have found any redemption from that place. But it was specifically because of that low place we were in that we merited this great miracle. Similarly, this is what Chanukah can do. Even for matters that seems tshuva won't work for them, yesh b'Chanukah koch hatikun lemala mikol ha'inyanim, that Chanukah has the ability to fix even those things which are far beyond our ability to grasp and comprehend. Nes gadol. We have no idea what's going on when we look at our Chanukah candles. Ela lirotam bilvad. Just look at them. We have no idea what's happening inside. We have no idea what's happening up there. Chanukah candles are so deep, so profound, so penetrating. We should be blessed that they should penetrate to the depths of our neshamot to light us up from inside. Mm-hmm. So we can shine brighter out. We should all be blessed to merit a day where we can all zoicha to be zoicha to really see the Or HaGanuz, Begilui. Shkoyach.